Now let's open our Bibles again, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to read in at verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous or difficult times shall come. And then it's going to go on to give us 19 things that feature this perilous time, characterized by selfishness, pride, and lack of self-control. Let's just go in at verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. But rather, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was, that is, as Jannes and Jambres was. Verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now God has promised to bless to us the reading of his precious word. You know, it's interesting. There's a conference over there in Bolton, if some know about that, and they're having a theme over there. I think the weekend, because of it being Valentine's Day, the messages are going to be themed about love. Now, that's nice, I guess. That's Valentine's-y, I suppose. When I was talking or emailing some of the brethren here about this weekend, I just wanted to make sure that I didn't show up not knowing that there was some theme, and they assured me, no, that they're leaving that to the Spirit of God. Well, I'm glad they did that, because it's been interesting to see the messages today, last night, and today as they have come together. And, you know, there's a theme there that no man could really have choreographed, and we trust that it is the Spirit of God. And I trust my message for the next few minutes is in keeping what we have been enjoying already today. Really, my text that I want to look at in relation to these different verses that we've read is really chapter 4, verse 2, where he gives this exhortation when he says, preach the word. Preach the word. In the difficult times that we're going to look at that we have here that he's explaining, the one safeguard that we have as the people of God, whether it is for assembly principles, assembly life, even as it radiates out into our secular life, our family life, it is based upon the unchanging, unerring Word of God. And so here, this exhortation that Paul is going to give to Timothy, in view of these days in which we are going to live in, he says to Timothy, he says, preach the word. And it's interesting, and I know you all know this, you're all theologians for the most part, but when you come to 2 Timothy especially, it is interesting, as we think of the context, it is interesting the emphasis that is put upon the Word of God. There's at least five different occasions, at least that I can see, maybe some see more, where there is an emphasis put on the Word of God. In chapter 1, verse 14 there, it is given to us as a treasure that needs to be guarded. We're to look at the Word of God as something that is very valuable. Something that we would guard with due diligence as we would something very valuable in this life. And of course, oft times when we read that, when it says there, keep it, many times that word is translated, that word to guard it as a garrison. But it's interesting, that word goes a little bit farther, and it has the thought of treasuring it as the thought of isolation. And of course, we were just over in the old country there back at last year a bit, and you get to some of those museums, some of those old places, and it's interesting that you can pretty well touch the stone walls of these castles that are falling apart, but if you get into a place where there's actually something of value, they got it in a case, or they got it behind a curtain or one of those rope things, because they don't want you handling it. They're putting it in isolation so as to protect the value. And I suppose the warning he's telling us here is that if we want to be able to stand in these difficult days that we're going to look at, if we want to be able to know that what we have is the unadulterated Word of God, it is to be kept in isolation. That is, that we're not supposed to spread it or preach it, but it's not to be mingled with other things. It is the Word of God and the Word of God alone that is to be our guide, that it is to be that which will keep us and direct us in these difficult days. Chapter 2, not only is it a treasure to be guarded, but there it speaks of a teaching that must be committed to others. We've been reminded of that already this weekend. That the truth that we have, it is not something that we're to suppress. It is not something that we're to go, okay, I know. I'm the man, and I'm not going to give it to others. I think of a fellow that I used to work with, and he worked on a particular machine at the shop, and it was pretty difficult, I suppose, but anytime you would go to talk to that man, he would turn off the machine, and he would stand there and talk. He was on the clock, he didn't care. He would stand there and talk as long as you wanted. But when you finally left, you could hear the machine go back on, and away he'd go. What was he doing? Well, he considered it job security. If no one else knew how to run that machine, he couldn't be fired. And so that's not the way we're supposed to be when it comes to the Word of God. It is something that must be committed to others. And as it's passed on from one generation to the next, that is the emphasis he's giving us here. In these last days, the truth not to be hoarded, but something to be committed to faithful men. Not only is it a teaching to commit, but in chapter 2, verse 15, it speaks there of a truth that must be handled aright. There is a right dividing of the Word of God. It is not taking Scripture out of context. It's not making a pretext of a text when it really has nothing to do with what is there in that particular passage. And so it is something that needs to be handled aright. When you come to chapter 3 where we've read, there it is a verse 15. It has the sense of a textbook that must be studied. Now, we've been encouraged to read our Bibles. I hope you read your Bibles. It's a sad day when we go through a day without opening our Bible and reading from it. That's a necessity. That is something that we must do. But I hope your study of the Scriptures, to be able to stand in perilous times, is far more than just a casual reading. It's far more than just doing my duty to read the Bible. But it is something, even not just the men, but the sisters, to be able to stand in this wicked world in which we live as we move amongst it. There must be a study of the Word of God, a looking into it, a seeing what God has to say to you. Think of it. From the throne of heaven, God has sent this Word and He's preserved it to us that He might teach us. And so we see that it is a textbook that must be studied. But then, of course, here in chapter 4, verse 2, where we read, we see there when it comes to the truth of the Word of God, it is literally a trumpet to be sounded. It is a message that needs to be heralded. Oh, it might not be popular. And listen, it's not popular. It might not be accepted by the world. But it is incumbent upon us, the people of God, that we preach, that we evangelize, that we herald the Word of God. And that is what is needed in the last days, as we have here in 2 Timothy. You see, the problem is, as we've been hearing, we seem to think, at least it gets into our minds, that truth morphs with the different ages, with the different generations. See, truth doesn't change. Truth is a constant. Truth is something that is the same yesterday, today, forever, because truth is not so much a doctrine. Truth, first off, is a person. The Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Word manifest amongst us. And this Word that we have, this Word that has been committed to us, it is something that does not change. It doesn't adapt with the social environment. It doesn't adapt with the standards of men. And so that is why it is so necessary that as we sound out the gospel that this world needs, as we sound out the principles of this book, that we understand that it is something that we must do. It is a trumpet to be sounded. I've got just a few quick points here I want to look at in regard to this passage that we've read. Why do we have to preach the Word? Why is it so important that Paul emphasizes it here five times in 2 Timothy? Well, of course we know that when it comes to the second epistles in the New Testament, they are last day epistles. The theme have to do with last days. And so my first point here, the reason we must preach the Word is simply because of the danger of the season. The danger of the season makes it imperative that we preach the Word. When it comes to 2 Corinthians there, it would seem the theme there in 2 Corinthians has to do with the devil and his deception. That's what we have if we had taken time to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. There is Satan transformed into an angel of light, and as he is deceiving and duping not only the masses of humanity, but literally even causing some of the Christians to stumble. We have to beware in these last days of the devil and his deception. When you come to 2 Thessalonians there, it would seem the theme has to do with the Antichrist and apostasy. A turning away from the truth. A turning away from the sound teaching of the Word of God. And there, 2 Peter has to do with deniers and their doom. And it's interesting in that chapter where it says, God spared not the angels that fell. He spared not the city of the plain. He spared not the world in Noah's day. And all these people in their doom, thinking that, you know, they could get away with it. But the end result was maybe for a while, but eventually they face the judgment of God. And if we deny, if we do not declare the truth of the Word of God, we are going to have to answer for it. When you come to 2 John, there it seems to be deceivers and their doctrine, denying the Lord Jesus Christ, denying the deity of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly that is an error that is rampant in the days in which we live. But what I want to look at here is in 2 Timothy, when it comes to departure and declension. You see, when there is a departing from the Word of God, the standard is not going to go up. The standard isn't even going to remain static. There is going to be declension. There is going to be a progression away from the scriptural doctrines of the Word of God and right Christian living that is given to us from the Bible. You see, these days that he's talking about, the danger of the season, when he says, in the last days perilous times shall come, that's not something in the future. That's something that we're in right now. In fact, it would seem as you read some of the scriptures in the New Testament that they understood that even in the day in which they lived, they were last days. They were last days, and these last day features were already amongst them, and certainly 2,000 years later, they are more rampant, they are more visible, they are more overt. There is no trying to hide it, but they are done in the open. Perilous days, he says. Know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Difficult, savage days. Listen, we live in savage days when it comes to the frontal assault against the truth of the Word of God. Against the truth of assembly gathering as we know it, gathering only to His name. And the assault even against proper family raising, bringing up children in our families, what the Bible teaches and what the philosophy of the world is. Listen, they're at two ends of the spectrum. So which one do we believe? Which one of these things, whether it comes to assembly gathering, whether it comes to how we're to live in the world, whether it comes to raising children, which of those are we to believe? Which of those are we to follow? Well, listen, I hope the answer in your mind today is we follow the Word of God. It is that which is unchanging. Oh, yes, there is an assault against it. But listen, that's the danger of the season in which we live, where the Word of God is being attacked. The veracity of the Word of God is being attacked. And even the day in which we live, they're calling it old-fashioned, is something that, you know, from a bygone day, listen, this is what we need for today. So he says here to Timothy, he says, Timothy, in view of the danger in this season, in view of the perilous times in which we are living, he says, don't depart from the Word. He says, Timothy, you preach the Word. You herald that Word. And isn't it interesting, the word that they use there is not, you know, just the intimate, the one-on-one preaching, but it is the public heralding of the Word of God. That's where to do it, because of the danger of the season. But there's another reason we're to preach the Word, not just because of the danger of the season. But when we come down to verse 10 of chapter 3, it says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me. Another reason that we must preach the Word, not simply because of the danger of the season, but I like to look at this and think of the devotion of the saints. As he says, you look on my life. The example that I was to you, Timothy, the example that I was to the assemblies around, he says, you look on that, and as you understand the devotion and the price that so many of these believers paid to bring us to where we are today, he says, that's why you need to stick to the Word. It cost them something. It cost them greatly. And as we look at their devotion, as we look at their steadfastness, he says, that is something that we should follow. Our brother was speaking last night about change, and I am certainly not against change. But listen, just because something is old doesn't mean it's wrong. And just because something is new doesn't mean it's wrong. But it's how it stands up to the Word of God that matters. And isn't it interesting, in these nine features that Paul speaks of himself here, all these other things, what is it? Whether it's his manner of life, his purpose, his faith, his love, his patience, all these things that seem issue from his doctrine, from his understanding of the Word of God that had been delivered to him. And everything else manifested itself from that. I want to live a life that's going to bring glory to God. It's going to be a life that is in keeping with the Word of God. That is going to be my point of reference. Not self-help books. Not 10 ways to a better whatever. This book here, this is the end all and the be all of what I need. Right here, he says, preach the Word. In view of the perilous days, preach the Word. In view of the devotion of the saints, their example. That's what we read there in the book of the Hebrews. It says there, remember them which had the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation of their life. I attend the little assembly there at Wabashin, Ontario now. And it is attached with, not physically attached, but just up the road is the Elam Homes, where there's a lot of the saints of God there spending their... it's like the waiting room at an airport. That's what when I go in there to visit, that's what I figure it is. It's the waiting room. They're just waiting. They're not at home. They're waiting to go home. Every time you talk to them, that's what they tell you. But you know, I am so amazed. We get there for meeting, and I know we're busy. I know we got lots to do, and things that keep us active. And maybe we think, you know, they don't have nothing to do, and they like a night out. But they hardly ever miss a meeting. And that is not just something they began in their old age. That is something that marked their lives up to that point. And as you look at them and you think of the heritage that we have, of these faithful witnesses that have gone on before, that should be something that would spur us on, that we would seek to live a life that would bring glory to God. And so he says here, in view of these perilous days, he says, preach that word out of the devotion for the saints because of their love for Christ and our love for them. And as they were followers of Christ, let us be followers of them. And so he says in there, he says, you preach that word because of the devotion of the saints. Another reason we need to preach the word, not simply because of the danger of the season or the devotion of the saints. Now, I had to fish for this one, so you'll excuse me. But now we have the dynamics of the Scriptures. Power. The power of the Scripture. Why do we need to preach the Word, he says here? Well, we have the dynamic of the Scripture. Chapter 3, verse 15, he says there, "All that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You want to see the most powerful thing in the world? Right here. The Word of God. It is something, it is a book that is actually alive. It's not old-fashioned. It's not passé. It's not something that is better spent on the shelf. This here is the most up-to-date book you will ever have. It is a book that, listen, I hope you're never ashamed of. I think, at least in my own mind, there in Romans chapter 1, where Paul, never been to Rome, and he is wishing that he could come and praying that he might get there, and possibly you can hear some of the murmurings of some of the people that were there. Paul, your gospel might be okay for Corinth. Your gospel might be okay for Asia Minor out there in Galatia. But you know, we're in Rome. Caesar's in Rome. The Roman Senate is there. The Roman army, you talk about powers, Rome was the center of power. It is, what does Paul say? He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. This book here, the doctrine of this book, not the doctrines of men, but given by God Himself. We teach that. We believe that. The Bible teaches that. In the verbal inspiration of the Word of God, God inspired. God breathed. God spoke. Not just speaking ideas, but that's where it comes to plenary inspiration. That is, every single thing that was written in those original manuscripts were from God Himself. And so, the reason that we can have confidence to stand with the Word of God, even though it's going against the flow, even though it's maybe the exact opposite of what the world and government and all these things might teach, the reason we can preach the Word is because of the power that's behind it. The power of God. And so he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, truly furnished. I want to ask you, are you a complete Christian? Well, if you're not reading your Bible, if you're not getting into this book, you will never be a complete Christian. I don't mean a perfect, but a complete, a well-rounded, I shouldn't say that, there's a lot of well-rounded Christians, that's not what I mean. But, you have all, it's all there. Because you're reading, and this is your final argument. This is where you go for the final say here in the Word of God. And so he says, preach the Word, because we don't have to be ashamed, because there's a dynamic power behind the Scriptures. But not only should we preach the Word because of the danger of the season, devotion of the saints, the dynamic of the Scripture, but when we come to chapter 4 and verse 1, that is a scary verse. The reason we must preach the Word is because of the demand of the sovereign. Oh, yes.
We just don't live to ourselves. We're just not, you know, little islands unto ourselves, not answerable to anybody. Listen, we're going to answer. We are going to answer for our Christian life. We are going to answer as to our obedience to the Word of God. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. We are going to answer to God, and we are going to answer in relation to this book. Not to what men said, not to the rules and regulations that men brought in, but to the clear Word of God, we're going to answer that. And, you know, sometimes we like to, and I'm sure the judgment seat's going to be a wonderful time because we're all going to come away with something. But it's a frightening time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 there, where it speaks of the all appearing before the judgment seat of Christ. And, you know, we can get thinking of the wonderful things that are going to happen there and of all the glories. But what's the very next verse after that? He says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Listen, we're going to stand before the Lord who has saved us, the Lord who has given us His Word that is to direct us, that is to keep us, so that we can be obedient to Him. And we are going to answer as to whether we were obedient to this Word. And so, why do we need to preach the Word? Why shouldn't we water it down because everybody else is? Why shouldn't we just have touchy-feely, warm, fuzzy type of ministry? Why? Because He says in the last days it is imperative that we preach the Word. In the last days, that is the last time we should be turning away. We should be getting back to it. We should be zeroing in on what does the Bible say? What does the Bible teach? And as we understand that, and it has an effect upon us, and we become obedient to it, and it's manifested in our lives, then that day when we stand before the Sovereign, when our life is played out, when I don't know if the book's open or whatever, but when we stand before Him, and to hear from the lips of the Savior Himself, well done. Wasn't popular? No, sir. Reproach? You bet, that's what it says here. They that live, yea, and all that will live, and the thought there is will to live. Make it a choice. Make it the intent of their life. They have consciously chosen to live for Him. He says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ, they will suffer persecution. But what's a little bit of persecution now? For the glory that is going to follow. Because we live according to this book. That where we went for the information, for the doctrine, for our guidance was in this book. And so in the last days, He says, preach the Word. So why are we to preach the Word? Well, we said the danger of the season, the devotion of the saints. We have the power of the dynamic of the Scriptures, the demand of the Sovereign. But it's interesting, when we come down to verse 3 to the end of verse 5 where we read, it would seem there that we need to preach the Word because of the deceptiveness of the sensual. Yeah, the deceptiveness of the sensual. For it says, the time will come when they will not endure healthy or sound doctrine. The time is going to come, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Not that the teachers have itching ears, but the listeners have itching ears. Give us something, give us something, you know, warm, fuzzy. Give us that motivation. Nothing wrong with motivational stuff, but that's all we want without doctrine. Listen, we're not going to be able to stand. And so he says, we need to preach the Word because the tendency in us, the tendency of that flesh that we battle with every day, is to be drawn to the things of this world, is to be drawn to the things that please the flesh. And so he says, we have to preach the Word because it will protect us from being drawn to the sensual, and it will keep us focused on that which is spiritual. So why do we need to preach the Word? We need to preach the Word because it's what the world needs to hear today. There's a world out there, and just with the plethora of religions that are around, it tells you people are searching for something. And they're going to the wrong places for sure, but they are searching for something. And if the truth, the true Word of God is not being preached, what are they going to hear?
they're not going to hear the truth.
So we need to preach the word because the unsaved need it. But listen, just as importantly, we need to preach the word because we as the people of God need it. We need the word of God. We need the sound doctrine that the apostles taught the early church, that they delivered to those first believers, that Paul was encouraging Timothy to commit also to faithful men that they might teach others. And as it comes down the tube, comes down the pike, generation after generation after generation to them is not being delivered just the thoughts of men, but rather the doctrines of the Word of God that are profitable. Profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. In these dark days, these last days, it is absolutely critical that we are able to distinguish between false and true. And the only way we will be able to absolutely distinguish is to know what the Word of God says. And we will never be able to speak the truth. We will never be able to guard the truth if we don't know what the truth is. And that is why it is so imperative that every single day you take time in your Bibles. Every single day you let God speak to you from His Word. Because I won't do you any harm. In fact, it is that what builds up. It is that which strengthens. It is that which makes you being able to stand in these dark days. And when everything else, it seems, is deserting the truth, giving up the truth, because of the appreciation we have for the Word of God and the Savior Himself, we will be found those that will be clinging to the truth. And so in these last days, in view of the time in which we live, should we sanitize? Should we, downplay some of the truth? No. He says, preach the word.